Good to see you this morning. Appreciate Brother Thomas leading us in those songs and those that have led us congregationally in prayers. And Brother Ross did a very fine job with the announcements. Most men will usually say that's the hardest part of the whole service is the announcements. He did just fine, though. We're going to be studying the Bible today, and it's about the topic of today. There we go. Believe it or not, today's going to come on the screen. Bible has a lot to say about today. Today. To the day. We, by our very word, are encouraged to go to our day and to look at it, perceive it, understand it, and to use it. It's the most important day because it's a gift, and thus it's fittingly called the present, right? The present. What does the Bible say about today? Well, I just went through the Bible and looked up a number of scriptures that use the word today in it. And we'll just kind of give some of these as a quick survey. There's actually over 163 verses in the New King James Version. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse." Deuteronomy 11:26. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 18:4. "Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Nehemiah 9:36. "Here we are, servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty." Here we are, servants in it. Psalm 95:7-8 says, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Proverbs 22:19, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you." Matthew 6:30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Matthew 21:28, "But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" Mark 14, verse 30, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." Luke 4:21, "And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" A few more to go. Luke 9:5, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Luke 19:9, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise.'" Luke 23:43. Hebrews 3:7, "Therefore the Holy Spirit says, 'Today,' if you'll hear His voice." Hebrews 3 and verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And James 4 and verse 13, "Come now you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit.'" A lot of things that are covered in those verses. But I think one thing that is certainly stressed, just inherent by the word itself today, is the idea of working with haste, taking advantage of the opportunity that is presented to us today. Now think about all the verses that say things such as "now," or "now is the day," or "now is the accepted time." "Make ready," "be ready," "instant," "suddenly," "while it is still day," "before the night cometh." Over and over, verses are stressing that we need to be something. And it doesn't mean it tomorrow, it means it today. Today. So I know there's some lessons that we can learn that we need to implement today, whatever day we find ourselves presently in. The first thought came to mind was that we need to be thankful for today. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And there he talks about being in the body of Christ. And he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." Or the King James Version says, "Be ye thankful." As mentioned, today is a blessing from God. And so we ought to thank Him. Thank Him. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." And Psalm 118 closes in verse 29. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." It begins that way, it ends that way. And we even see in verse 24, it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." It's never too elementary of a point to thank God for today, because He has indeed made it. In Psalm 136, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." Today. You know, for many thousands, yesterday was their final day. I was speaking with one before services of a wake, a funeral that they went to. But God was gracious to see fit to give us today. What a difference it would make if we start off every day being thankful for that particular day. You know, some, they say they can't get their day started without a cup of coffee, you know, or maybe a walk in the park. But what will help you get into the day the most is a moment in prayer, expressing the things that you are thankful for. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, there's a whole lot of things to be thankful for. Ephesians 5 verse 20 is a great verse where it says to be giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God. Thankfulness and a good day, I'll tell you, are so tied together, they're like cords in a rope, intertwined. It helps you start the day on the right foot. Instead of starting off with complaints or starting off with things that are bugging you or bothering you or perturbing you, I suggest you start with a thanks. The many things that you are thankful for, and it will start you on the right foot today. Another thing we can think about today is that you can squander it. You can squander today. You know, there will only be one January 29th, 2017. Just one of them. That's all you got. The present is where you and I live. Now in Colossians 4:5 it says to walk wise towards those that are outside, redeeming the time. Now that means if I can redeem time, that means I can also lose time as well. And one way we can lose time is by thinking about how we might labor in the future. Now you might plan for the future, but you can't time warp to the future. You can't remake the past either. There's no time machine again. The present, today, is all that you ever get to work in at the moment, right? That's what Jesus said in John 9 verse 4, that he must work while it is still day, for night cometh when no man can work. If you get to work tomorrow, it's because tomorrow became your today. But today will soon be yesterday, if you followed all of that. It will. I've told people before that I feel they're squandering the day. I tell them, get on the life train or it's going to pass you by. It keeps on trucking, it keeps on moving whether you're moving or not. And one thing is for sure, life is short. And those who squander the day make their lives even shorter than that. The lazy sees life roll by with nothing to show for it. In Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs 24, verse 30, the proverb writer says, "I went to the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." There's much laziness in our world today. Many that are okay and content with just letting things go by. Life itself go by. and their duties be neglected and go by as well. In this country, it seems like more and more many are content with not working. It's ironic that you can almost get paid more for not working than working sometimes in some places. That's not the way it should be. That's certainly not the way in which God had ordered it or ordained it. In Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13, it says, "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets.' As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and it wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." It's hard to talk sense into some of these individuals. I've tried. And I feel like I'm just wasting my breath, wasting my time. Because they got an answer to everything. The reason why it is the way things are, oh yes, they're wiser in their own eyes. And they rotate on their bed more than a hamster does in their wheel. And it's terrible. It's sad. Put the hand in the bowl. Oh, but do I have enough strength and energy and time to actually put it into my mouth? So sad. You know, they could have utilized the day and made something of it. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that finally on that day of reckoning, the master comes and collects what is his. And there was a servant that was lazy and took what the master had given him and hid it in the ground. In Matthew 25:25, he says, "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed." He called him wicked and lazy by not utilizing what God had blessed him with. Now at any day, that servant could have came along and dug it up and began to utilize it and to make something of it. But rather the days piled up into years and years into decades, and he squandered his opportunity. He squandered it. Well, we must not squander today. Not only should we not squander it physically, but we must be sure to not squander it mentally as well. And we can do that by not living presently, mentally, in the moment of the day. When I say the word today, it should have the power to remind me that that's where I live. Too often we spend today squandering it by mentally living in the uncertain future. Right? What will happen to my children? What will happen to the economy? What will happen to my job? What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my husband, to my health, to my money, to my house, to my life? You see why the Lord said, "Do not worry about your life." Just nips that in the bud. Fear is worries. They leave us as an inactive shell in the present tense, trapped in the present, while mentally existing in the future. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?'" You picking up on a pattern here? Verse 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus didn't talk often about tomorrow, except not to worry about it, because you and I don't exist in it. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Have you ever worried about something that never came to pass? That's probably 100 out of 100, right? We've all probably been there before. The reality is most worries don't come to pass. It's a waste of space in the mind of today. In fact, worrying about tomorrow gets you paralyzed about accomplishing the tasks of today. You become unprofitable in the moment because you're thinking about the possible futures. You've heard the phrase before, "Don't cross any bridges till you get there." It's with that in mind. It's true. Hey, if you get to that bridge, you're going to cross it. But don't worry about it if you're not going to get to that bridge. And oftentimes we don't. I heard of an acronym that stuck with me. The acronym was FEAR, F-E-A-R. False expectations appearing real. Think about that the next time you think of fear. Just false expectations. Oh yeah, they appear real. But they are indeed false. They only appear that way. But they're just imaginations. And the other thing about fear is that often it spreads like a cold. It hurts those that you love. Those that you perhaps were worried about all of a sudden become worried about you. It spreads like a cold. And yet, I might also say thankfulness can do the same as well. Having that right mindset. A spirit that is high and lifted up will also spread like a good cold to those that are around you. In Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus told Martha, He said, Martha, you're worried about many things. And is that not true about us sometimes? Many things, not just one, but many things. And He tells her something that's important. It's important for us. Verse 42, He says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. What was that one thing that she chose? Verse 39 says that Mary, who has also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word, she chose to sit and to listen to Jesus, to listen to what He had to say, to listen to His word. And if we can remind ourselves that one thing is needed, then we can have that at any moment, at any time. We can sit and listen to His word, read His word, study His word. Psalm 31, there are many statements of comfort that are found in the word of God to those that are seeking to serve Him in fullness of heart, with an obedient life. In Psalm 31, there, verse 19, He says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion, from the strife of tongues. In Psalm 37, isn't it beautiful to know that God would seek to hide us, to take care of us? Don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just focus on today. Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in his way. Are you that good man or woman? Are you ordered by the Lord? Well, verse 24 says, though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. I've been young and now old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. And in Psalm 73, again, another reminder that the Lord is with those that are with Him. Psalm 73, there in verse 23 and 24. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isn't that a beautiful thought? You hold me by my right hand. Yes, we do not know what the future holds. But the one that holds us by our right hand holds the future with the other. And He'll navigate us well. And so, live your day one day at a time. But further, today, use that day to honor the Lord with your life, whatever that might be, whether it's working as an employee on a particular day, or if you're working at home, maybe doing laundering, keeping the children, mothering, whether you're fathering, instructing your children in the way of righteousness, whether children you're at school, doing the best that you can there, or whether you're at worship, worshiping God as we're doing here, or in a midweek service. In Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at some verses along these lines. Ephesians 6 and verses 6 and 7. In regards to employers, employees, bondservants, masters, it says in verse 6, to not work with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You and I should work that day as if we're working right there next to the Lord. And it's for the Lord and for His glory. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12. He says that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. It's God's desire for us to work, and that's part of the way in which we honor the Lord. Laziness does the opposite of that. Beyond that, in Titus 2, have you ever noticed the categories there? Titus 2, verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent. Notice further, Titus 2, verse 3, that the older women likewise, that they be reverent. Verse 4, that they admonish the young women. Verse 6, likewise exhort the young men. So you got older men, older women, younger women. And all of them have this list of things that God expects them to do. And when we do them, when we don them, we are honoring the Lord. There, verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. I want to be a special person of God. Well, then I've got to be pure, and I've got to be zealous for these good works. All these things bring honor to the Lord in how we live our lives. Whether it's childbearing, 1 Timothy 2:15, or managing the house, 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, and keeping the house, or the housewife does such, that's honoring the Lord. Whether it's something as exhorting one another daily while it's called a day, Hebrews 3, 7, 12 through 13, that's so important as well. There are people that need exhortation, that need a call, that need a card, that need a visit. Are we doing that? He said to do that today, lest they be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Colossians 3, 23, whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily. Unto who? The Lord. You see, that's called godly productivity. And by doing it, it ironically keeps you mentally sound too as well. Focused on the day and not on the uncertain future. When you have too much time to sit and to think, your mind can drift into the future. But honoring the Lord with the day, well, then you'll be busy that day. Busy doing good. You might also say we need to use our day to take time to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to evangelize. In John chapter 4, I think Brother Ross shared a good example during Bible class that on a break at work, eating lunch, you just talk with some individuals about their Hindu religion and about why it is that he is faithful to the Lord. You can find moments at any time of the day where you can say a word, plant a seed. The Lord saw evangelism as His necessary food. Do we? In John 4, verse 31, it says, in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. What's that food? Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Well, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You know what He was talking about? The crowd that was coming to Him in verse 39 and verse 40. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. And we need to sow some seeds and gather in the harvest for God. So we need to pray for those opportunities to open up. When was the last time that you did that? That you prayed, Lord, present an opportunity where I might spread the truth of your message to somebody else. To be able to do that in a day in which I'm seeking to honor you with my life. Today. Today should also offer a small step in maturity. You know, there's no one is a pillar overnight, right? It's slow and steady work. In regards to learning God's Word, that's an essential element to our maturity. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, you're familiar with the passage where Satan told him to turn the stones into bread, and the Lord said, No, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We eat three times a day. We ought to study the Word of God multiple times a day, to read from it, to think about it, to meditate upon it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, to desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You know, you'll desire it more if you crave it more and love it more. Like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 129 through 136. Listen to how he speaks about the Word. He truly loved it, and it truly was going to be his guide in his life. He says in verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Wow, what a love he had for the testimonies of God. And that indeed brought him great maturity in the will of God. I know some say, well, I can't read the whole Bible in a day, and so they don't even start. And they never know the value of compound interest. And that's usually used in regards to investments, right? Where one becomes two, and two becomes four, and four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16, and 16 becomes 32, and 32, 64, and 64, 128, and then 256, and so on and so forth. Just like that. Something little grows into something great and something big. Well, there's compound spiritual interest as well. You gain more interest the more you feed your soul. More interest in the Word of God. You want to know more. Know new things. Things you haven't studied before. That's one reason why years ago I wanted to study the minor prophets. I really never dove into those. Maybe you want to study the epistles more, or the Gospels, to know those accounts in more detail, like we're going to be studying on Wednesday night. But day by day, it adds up until you form a collection of todays. Having read the Bible, small steps soon lead to miles. Remember that lesson I did a few weeks back about 10 years from now? And I said, if you just read two verses a day, 10 years from now you'd read the Bible through six times, over six times. Just little things. They add up. See, every day is just a step in maturity. And that's just an example of reading the Bible. Imagine for working in the Lord, James chapter 2. Or helping others, gaining wisdom. In the book of Proverbs. Imagine if you read a proverb a day, a couple a day, or a chapter a day. How much wisdom you would grow in time. So take advantage of today. It should offer a small step in maturity. But further, and last for this morning, you need to repent of sins. And there's no better day than today to do that. Righting the wrongs. We know that the Lord has done His part, made ample provision. He came to this earth, died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And through Him, God's grace is abundantly offered. Not only through Jesus Christ, but by the time He's given you and I to make things right in our lives. Like I said, for many, yesterday was their last day. They're not experiencing today like you and I are. And so if you get to, and you're in sin, take advantage of the time to make it right. In Acts 24, verse 25, you read of one that put off today. His name was Felix, and Paul had come to him and reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. All those things come from the Word of God. Living the right standard. You can't live unrighteously and hope to go to heaven when you die. You can't. You got to live righteously, which means you got to be in self-control. You got to refrain from things that God says to refrain from and do the things God says to do. You can't live in immorality. You can't be an individual that says, If I'm a man, I like other men. Or if I'm a woman, I like other women. You got to control yourself and live righteously. You can't be an individual that seeks to just go and marry multiple times and do whatever you'd like with your life, when God has constrained us to be the husband of one wife, to live faithful unto death to that spouse that we're married to. That happens to be something that Felix hadn't done. He's wanted to get married, or he was married to Drusilla. He had no right to be with her. So Paul talked about the judgment to come. Now I ought to wake him up, smell the reality of the fires of hell that await those that will not repent. And guess what? It scared Felix to death. Felix was afraid and trembled, the King James Version said, and said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." What's that? I'm putting off today for tomorrow. Some other day, some other time, I'll make that right. I know I should. I know I'm going to need to, but not today. Not today. I want to live my life my way for today. Well, of course, today would have turned into tomorrow, and tomorrow into years. And the Bible never gives any account of Felix obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, the Bible says in verse 48, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master's delaying his coming,' begins to beat his fellow servants to eat and drink and with the drunkards," in other words, to do what he wants to do, "and the master of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and cut him in two and appoint him with his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be gnashing and weeping of teeth." Why with the hypocrites? Because he knew his master's will, but he didn't do it. No, my will first, master's will second. I'll do master's will inasmuch as it doesn't conflict with my will. Hypocrite, he says. And he cut him in two. In Matthew 25, the Bible tells us in verse 10 that there was this illustration he gave of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. Those that were wise were welcomed in to the wedding. But those that were foolish, they didn't make it in time. The doors were shut. The Bible says, verse 10, that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." It may be today. And that's why there's so many admonitions in the Word of God, as we started off at the beginning, that say the word today, to make haste. Take advantage of that opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the last passage this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, it says, "We then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Some can receive the grace of God in vain. That is God's patience and mercy extended to them. Well, how? Verse 2, "For He says, in an accepted time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today's the day. No better day than today to right the wrongs, to repent of your sins, and to become a Christian. Don't be like a Pharaoh. Don't be like a Pharaoh whom, when God sent the plagues, and in particular the plague of the frogs, he wanted to be rid of the frogs from his life. And when Moses came to him and asked him, "What time? What time should I petition God for you?" Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." He was willing to spend one more night with the frogs. How foolish to put off today for tomorrow. When we find changing in our lives, do it today. So if you're here this morning and you're out of step with the Lord, would you consider coming forward today and repenting of your sins and serving Him with a full heart? If you are not a Christian, would you consider becoming one today? As our brother Tim says often, "I don't know if you got tomorrow, but you got today. What will you do with it?" Think about it while together we stand and while we sing.
Oh, will you linger, wandering from